Friends, I invite you to take a deep breath and to collect your thoughts for all that's going on in the world, for that, all that is going on in your world. Let's spend a few moments in quiet and prayer. For this gathering, for these few moments where brothers and sisters in Christ, those seeking Jesus, gather in this holy sanctuary space, for these few moments together, O our God, we do say, for this we thank you, Lord. We thank you for each one here in this place this day, for those that are sitting next to us and in front of us and behind us. We thank you for your lively, holy, vibrant spirit that enlivens us, that is inside of us and between us and all around us. We thank you for all of the ways that you speak to our hearts, that you move alongside of us in the word or the gesture of one who we love or who is a friend, in the ache and the pain of a neighbor or a colleague, in the look and inquiry of a stranger, even the harsh and difficult moment with one who we view as an enemy. In all of these ways, you are present to us because you are our companion along our way. Indeed, you companion with everyone, whether they know it or not. And sometimes you grieve when those who with whom you companion all of humanity, you grieve when there is wrong done, when there is disaster through words and deed, when there is harshness, where there is brokenness, where there is injury and even death. You grieve. And you grieve with those who are loved, who grieve at times such as that. You also raise your voice in joy and laughter and gladness when we, who are your people, are in places that are full of goodness and grace, where our words and where our actions lift up and heal and comfort and join with another in success after a hard and difficult way, after diligence, after study, after care. You who join us in joy and in sorrow, you who join us in happiness and gladness and difficulty, you who join us along our way, no matter what, every day, for all of our lives, and even through death into life everlasting, for this we thank you, Lord. For every leader in this place that help to advance the ministry and mission of St. Peter's Church in your name. For every leader in this community of Amherst or the surrounding towns and villages and the county of Lorraine and the state of Ohio and the nation of our United States, for every leader elected and elevated in some way or another, for everyone who runs a business, for everyone who is the leader or the boss of an enterprise or an industry, we pause and pray for them. We bring in front of us their faces and their names for those whom we know and their office for those who we don't know. All in Congress and the President of the United States and his cabinet. For all leaders in every country and every clime, everywhere throughout this world, we bring in front of us their office, their responsibility, their stewardship, their care for the many under their office for this time and season of their service. We pray that Those who lead will always remember that they serve the public trust, that they serve the publics for whom they are hired or elevated, that they serve not just themselves, but the many, the all. And we pray for them. For you are beside them, even if they don't call you by the name that we call you. You are with them, though they may not ever turn to you. You are their companion, and in their time of great want and difficulty, you are there to lift them up. When there are difficult decisions to make, when there are trials and tribulations, you are there to help guide. And for this, we thank you, Lord. Now, for everything that is on our heart, for those who we know are struggling with illness or disease, for we ourselves who might feel bowed down with distress or pain, with worry or anxiety, for we ourselves who might be fighting physical ailment or disability, for each one of us who is in great joy and delight because of this day and because of this season and this moment of our life. Thank you, O our God, for placing in every heart your Holy Spirit so that we might all serve you well. Heal us if we are in need of healing. Companion with us so that we might heal others. And always and forever, join us in this life. We pray now all of this and more in your holy name, in Jesus' name. And pray too, as Jesus prayed with these words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. So our scripture reading is on Matthew 5, chapter 5, 13 through 16.
Through 16. You
are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so ends the reading of the Holy Word.
And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of each heart find acceptance in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our stay. What's it like to be salt and to be light? What's it like? You are salt and you are light. You are salt, and you are light. You are. Really, you might ask? Am I really that? Really. You really are. So this is sometimes what being salt and light is like. Mary Oliver's dog, Bear. Now through the white orchard my little dog romps, breaking the new snow with wild feet, running here, running there, excited, hardly able to stop. He leaps, he spins, until the white snow is written upon in large, exuberant letters, a long sentence expressing the pleasures of the body in this world. Oh, I could not have said it better myself. That's what salt, that's what you are. That's what you are, with wild, excited feet writing exuberant sentences in the snow. You are, really, really, you are. You're also this. Another dog. He puts his cheek against mine and makes small, expressive sounds. And when I'm awake, or awake enough, he turns upside down, his four paws in the air, and his eyes dark and fervent. "Tell me you love me," he says. "Tell me again." Could there be a sweeter arrangement? Over and over, he gets to ask. I get to tell. You are, you know, both of those things. You are sometimes the one with your, well, with your paws up in the air, lying on your back, with those fervent, loving eyes saying, "Love me, love me." And, of course, you're getting loved. And sometimes you are the one loving. You are. Really. You are. In Matthew's gospel, in this story, these two sayings, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," the English doesn't help us, the Greek more so. This is not, these are not two sayings about if you are salt or if you are light. These are not two sayings about sometimes you're salty, but other times you're not, and sometimes you are like a light, and other times you're not. Jesus's sayings here in this story are directed right at the disciples, which is to say, they're directed right at you, because each one of you are Jesus's disciples. And if you don't think of yourself that way yet, because you're here in this place, then you are thinking about it. And Jesus has already claimed you as his own. And so you are Jesus' disciple. Really, you wonder to yourself? Really, really, you are. And since you are Jesus' disciples, since this is your life, then you are salt and you are light. It's not as if sometimes you are and sometimes you're not. By the very nature of your promise to Jesus, your promise to God, by the very nature of God's companionship with you, what is true is that you are a light to the world. Your life is that light. What is true is that you are salt to the world. You are that salt. So what do those mean? I guess there's a little bit of confusion there, because salt is not really a dill pickle, although it is. Anybody like dill pickles? I mean a real dill pickle? One of those great dill pickles that you used to get out of the barrel at the at the market, and they were about as big as your wrist around, and you walked around with it while your mom or your dad was shopping, and it kept you busy for a little while anyway, with all of that wonderful dill pickle juice running down your arm. Oh, I'm remembering that day. When Jesus' disciples heard that they were salt, they went someplace other than dill pickles or that little splash of salt that you put on your meat or in your gravy or in your tomato sauce. They heard Ezekiel and Leviticus and Numbers and Ezra and 2 Kings and Job and Colossians. They heard, in other words, the scriptures, except for Colossians, they heard the scriptures that were their scriptures. They heard the what we call the Old Testament. They heard echoes of salt that turned up all of the time in the stories that they grew up listening to. So they knew that salt had to do with sacrifice, and that salt has to do with purification, and that salt has to do with fidelity, with relationship, with covenant. That salt has to do also with seasoning. And so, when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus is reminding the disciples that your life is an offering to God. And that when anyone sees you making that offering to God, your life as an offering to God, kindness, loving kindness, and doing peace, and doing justice, and doing love, and doing forgiveness, and that offering announces you as a disciple. It announces you as a Christian. It makes you salt. They say, "Oh, isn't that person salty?" And when you say to your friend, "Oh, I'll meet you after worship on Sunday because I'm worshiping at St. Peter's today," you're claiming your fidelity to God to worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And they say, "Oh, you're salty because you are keeping your covenant promise. You're keeping your fidelity to the one in whom you have your life, who is your way and your truth and your life." And when you refrain from anger, when you instead choose love, when you refrain from injury and you instead choose restraint, and when you refrain from turning away from God and instead stay focused on God, then you are announcing that God is your companion, that you are well seasoned, and that you are pure, and that you are loyal, and that your life is an offering. And all of that is a light to your world, a light to our world. Do you get this perfect? I mean, is this about perfection? It isn't. But it is about fidelity and covenant and offering. It is about saying who you are and whose you are. It is about you with your words and with your actions announcing that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, and that God is your very own, and that you are God's. Really, you wonder? Isn't that boastful? It is not, dear ones. There's a difference between pointing to yourself and saying, "Look how great I am," and simply pointing to yourself and saying, oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I do this. I can do this because God loves me in Christ Jesus. Because I love God. Really, you wonder? Can you do that? Can you speak those words? Can you do those actions? Really, you can. Because you already do. You already do. And so, as Jesus said, be light. You can't be anything else. You are light. And offer yourselves all of the time to the work and ministry of Christ in this world. And you can't do anything else because you're a disciple. Because it is really, really true. Amen. Amen.